Genesis chapter 40 and verse 23 could be regarded as the anchor, our text. This morning, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. This is our fourth look at Joseph, and we want to call our sermon this morning, Joseph Tested. Joseph Tested. We've had Joseph the dreamer and how he behaved himself perfectly in his home where he was hated. We've had Joseph the slave, but again he conducted himself with integrity, even as a slave. And last week we looked particularly at Joseph being tempted, and it was in a particular area regarding sexual immorality and how he shone, and how when extremely tempted, Joseph conducted himself in an exemplary manner. But today we want to continue with our look at Joseph, believing, of course, that Joseph is a type of Christ. And as we look at the life of Joseph, we can see things in his life that mirror the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in chapter 40, we do believe, Joseph being tested, extremely tested. Of course, you might well say his temptation last week that we looked at was also Joseph being tested. And of course, that is true. But we want to notice here that Joseph was further tested. We might use that term. He was further tested. You see, with all Joseph's outstanding living in his home, being a slave and being one who successfully rebuffed temptation, where did it get him? If we look at his life at this point, he was a model individual. No one could put a finger on him. No one could point at him as one who had fallen into sin. But where did it get him? Well, of course, we find him in prison. And of course, that would not be in any sense a holiday camp. That would be a dreadful dungeon. That would be a terrible place for any individual to find himself in. There, all Joseph's obedience, all his right living at this point caused him to find himself in prison. And you might think that things could not possibly get worse for Joseph. But even in prison, he was tested. And this is the way that the Lord does deal with his people to some extent. Joseph, we do believe, was extremely tested. But all the people of God, especially those who are to be used in a notable way in the history of redemption, you'll find that they've all been extremely tempted and tried. We are going through the book of Psalms in our midweek meeting. And again, it's clear and evident to anyone who will even have a light look at the Psalms that David was one who was extremely tempted. Abraham, Moses, all of these individuals were tested and tried. And by the grace of God, they came out of their trials and their temptations to go on to serve the Lord in their day and in their generation. And of course, we know what enabled Joseph to be able to withstand temptation and testing was this glorious reality that we read about towards the end of chapter 39. But the Lord was with Joseph. But the Lord was with Joseph. Well, we want to look briefly this morning at Joseph tested. Joseph tested. And I have three brief headings. First one is testing. Joseph testing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I do believe, Paul there is writing a very autobiographical piece regarding his own ministry. And he is outlining the difficulty that he's had. And he mentions four things that could well apply to Joseph. Four things we would find as we look at that chapter that Paul tells the Corinthians to validate his apostolic ministry and to encourage them that they might look upon the things that are eternal and not to be taken up with the things that are seen, but to be taken up with the things that are eternal. For the things that are seen are not eternal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And Paul uses four words or phrases that could well characterize the life of Joseph at this particular point. Paul says in that chapter 4 that I'm referring to, he was troubled on every side. This was his experience. Troubled on every side. Surely this does outline to us the life of Joseph. Wherever he went, he had trouble. Trouble in the home. They hated him. They hated him because he was an outstanding individual. And he did not take part in the wickedness of his brothers. Instead, he exposed their life by his own pure life. Of course, it did not help that he was a favorite of the father. That's true. Jacob was silly in that regard. But nevertheless, Joseph was outwardly a perfect individual. And his life revealed the wickedness of their life. And because of that, he was troubled in home. And then when he becomes a slave and he's troubled there. Every part of his life he finds trouble. Wherever he seems to go, he doesn't escape trouble. Yet he himself is one whose ways please the Lord. Paul also talks about being perplexed. You can well imagine how perplexed Joseph must have been. No doubt he would have time in his hands at night time, maybe when it was dark and he wasn't able to do much. He would think about these dreams. What do these dreams mean? These dreams that caused so much offense to his brothers and to his parents. And he reflected upon them. What is the Lord doing? Where are these dreams? Will they ever be fulfilled? Are they simply the products of my own imagination? No doubt these kind of thoughts will be in Joseph's head as he looked at his life. He was utterly and absolutely perplexed concerning his life at this time. Paul mentions too that he was persecuted. Well, of course, Joseph knew about that. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, he knew about that. He knew that everywhere he went, he was persecuted. All the religious people were out to get him. They were out to catch him up with whatever he might say. And religious people who were naturally enemies one of another would get together and they would try to catch the Lord Jesus Christ out. Joseph knew about being persecuted. Even as a slave, a nobody, a one who was a conscientious worker and looked out for the affairs of his master above his own affairs and his own interests, doing his business, yet he was persecuted. And this, friends, would rub off on Joseph. He was human. He had passions just like ourselves. He would think just like ourselves. And he must be wondering, why all this perplexing stuff? Why all this persecution? Why all this trouble on every side? The last thing that Paul mentions in that chapter, in Corinthians chapter 4, concerning his difficulties, is to be cast down. Surely here Joseph in prison, he must have felt, this is it. This is it. I've had so many knocks. I've had so many disappointments. I've been tossed here, there, and everywhere. I've sought to live a straight life, been honest and upright in all my dealings. And all the time, I seem to get one blow after another. We might look upon him as a boxer, friends, in a boxing ring. And as he's fighting away, he receives a blow that puts him to the ground. And the count goes on, one, two, three, and he gets up to continue fighting. And then he receives another blow, and he hits the ground. And what happens? The count goes, one, two, three, four, five, six, up he gets. The crowd are amazed. He gets up again, and he fights. And he receives another blow. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. What? He's up again. He's fighting. This was the life of Joseph. Cast down continually, fighting all the time. That was his life as a believer. This, friends, is the life of every believer. Oh, we might not know it to the extent that Joseph knew it. We don't feature, we believe, in the same way that Joseph did in the history of redemption. Joseph played a tremendous part in God's plan for his people and for to bring ultimately the Messiah to bless all the nations of the world. Joseph had a prominent place in this wonderful plan of salvation. But friends, every single believer has a plan or is part of the plan of God as far as redemption is concerned. And we will know something of this. We will know trouble on every side. We will be perplexed. We will know persecution to some degree. And we will know what it is to be cast down. And we ask ourselves, why? 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 Because the Lord is testing us. And this could apply to us individually, as individual Christians. And it may well apply to as jointly as a congregation or as a denomination. And therefore, when these things come upon us, it is vitally important that we remain faithful, steadfast, unmovable, as the Bible says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Let not these things that were troubled on every side, that truly we are perplexed, that we are persecuted, that we are cast down. We win one fight and then we get another blow that puts us down. Let us not think that these things, that God is against us. Rather rejoice that God is testing us. And let us be like Joseph, and let us be like the Lord Jesus Christ, and let us be ones who remain firm and steadfast right to the very end. Well then, Joseph, testing. We notice then, secondly, Joseph trusting. Joseph trusting. Remember these four words or four expressions that I used that Paul had? Well, if you look at that chapter, you know, when he mentions these four things, he has an answer for each of them. Remember, troubled on every side. But what was his reaction? Yet not distressed. Yes, he's troubled on every side. Yes, he knew it. Joseph knew trouble on every side, but because he was trusting upon the Lord, yet not distressed. We find Joseph here being tested in prison. Joseph could easily, to some extent, he could have recoiled and gone into a corner. And no doubt if he had done that, he would have been punished by his master. But Joseph, when he went to prison, when he should not have been in prison, did he take umbrage? No, friends. He simply knuckled down. He must have realized the sovereignty of God in all of these things. And he must have been surely perplexed, but he must have had this before him. It is the Lord's will. It is the Lord. Therefore, I will do the best I can. I will knuckle down. I will get on with the work at hand. I will make the best of a bad job. This was not his appointment. This is not what he would have chosen for himself. When he was a slave and when he was in the home of Potiphar, he might have thought to himself, this is a wonderful position I'm in. Because to be a slave in a household like Potiphar's, it would have been a remarkable turnaround for him. He would have been living in relative luxury. Yes, he still would have been a slave, but his living would be far beyond what his brothers and family knew in Canaan. And maybe he might have thought he's arrived when he was in Potiphar's house. But he receives this other blow and he goes from the big house to looking after all the affairs and he goes to prison. You might well have said he would have shut the book and said, this is it, I've had enough. But no, although he was troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Friends, are we ones who look at a situation and do we see the negative things in all of these things, or do we simply submit to the sovereignty of God and apply ourselves to whatever situation we find ourselves in that we might glorify Him in that situation? Remember that word, perplexed. And who could have been perplexed but Joseph? But Paul says, perplexed, but not in despair. Not in despair. Joseph would have been perplexed. Why am I in prison? Why am I in this dungeon? Why am I in this rat-infested place? But he was not in despair. Why? Because he recognized that even there, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. He couldn't see light at the end of the tunnel. There wasn't much outwardly to encourage him. Nothing that he could outwardly hang upon. There was no appeals procedure. He had no recourse to a good lawyer or a QC. But despite all of these things, he was not in despair. Oh, Christian, do we not need a double measure of this today? Is there not much to make us despondent? Is there not much around about us that would cause us to throw our hands up in despair? Will someone who's on the road to heaven despair? Will someone who belongs to the family of God despair? Where is your faith? Perplexed, yes. What is the Lord doing? See the church, see the decline, see society, look at our government, see what's happening. Where's it going to go? Perplexed, yes. But not in despair. Not in despair. Remember that word, persecuted? Oh, Joseph knew it. But Paul says, although he was persecuted, but not forsaken. Not forsaken. The Lord Jesus knew this. Even his disciples who loved him, yes, they did love him, they forsook him. We know the traitor forsook him, of course. But even those Peter, James, and John who truly loved him and the others, they all forsook him. But the Father never forsook him. And he knew that. Even in his darkest hour. This, friends, is a promise. God cannot lie. Never will I leave thee nor forsake thee. Never. Underneath are the everlasting arms. The eternal God is our refuge. Oh, Joseph knew this in his experience, in his testing. He knew this. The Lord was with him. Somehow the Lord manifested himself to him. Joseph won favor. He was in control of the prison. Everything was in his hands. And although he had been persecuted, yet not forsaken. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the other term, cast down, that Paul used? But he goes on to say, but not destroyed. Cast down, yes. Remember the boxer who was repeatedly beaten so that he went on the floor, but he got up before the count of 10. He continued to fight. He did not give up. He was not destroyed. Cast down, yes, put down. Terrible things were happening to him. He was receiving stroke after stroke. So was Joseph. But he was never ultimately destroyed. He was never cast down. He never threw in the towel. He never lost his faith. He was truly a prize fighter because the Lord was testing him and trying him. He had a wonderful work for him to do. But before that work, he had to be in the schoolroom of the Lord. It reminds us of Moses. Moses did believe that the Lord had a plan for him. And Moses began to put that plan in operation when he slew the Egyptian. But the Lord had to take him out to the desert. And for 40 years he was preparing him for that great work of taking the children of Israel out of the house of bondage. This was Joseph's testing. And during that time of testing, he was trusting. Partick, this is the time for trust. Is the Lord testing us? Is the Lord testing you? Is the Lord testing us as we face uncertain days? It's time to trust upon the Lord. It's time to lean upon him. It's time to be absolutely obedient to him, to cast aside our idols, to cast aside all other supports. It's to lean upon our beloved. It's to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to look unto him continually. And although we be cast down, we will not be destroyed. If we are looking with the eye of faith upon Christ. Well, Joseph testing, trusting, and finally and thirdly, Joseph triumphant. Joseph triumphant. Why do we say this? Well, there are at least four indicators in this chapter 40 that would tell us that Joseph, despite his difficulties, was living a triumphant life of a believer. The first one we get is in verse 6. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. Nothing much there, you might say. Joseph looks upon the butler and the baker. They were sad. They were in prison. Now, these were not simply just butlers and bakers. They would have been people of high rank and high authority. They would have had a number of people under them. They were the chief of the butlers and the chief of the bakers. They would have known management skills. They would have had high offices. They would have been intimate in one sense with Pharaoh. They were people of high rank and authority. And here they were in the prison, and Joseph was looking after them. And Joseph notices they were sad. And the point we want to raise here is Joseph noticed others. Who do you think had the greater right to be sad than Joseph? Taken from his home, badly treated, an innocent individual in prison serving others. Who had more right to be sad than Joseph? Yet Joseph seems to have, in some sense, put his cares to the back of his mind, and he notices others. And he notices that they are sad. This, friend, speaks well of Joseph. When he's not consumed concerning his own problems, he's not inward looking, he's outward looking. And he notices that these two individuals are sad. Who better to comfort than someone who knows the bitterness that Joseph experienced? This ties in well with that verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, where Paul says, "Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." The Apostle Paul knew difficulties, but he knew the comfort of God. And because of that, he was able to reach out to others who were struggling, who had problems, who had difficulties. And he was able, in some sense, to bring to them the comfort that he himself had experienced of God. This was Joseph's experience in prison. He noticed others. Friends, do we notice others? We are by nature, yes, every one of us, we are by nature selfish, and we look upon our own interests and our own lives. But the true believer who's walking in the Spirit of God, who's been filled with the Spirit of God, who's living a Spirit-filled life, he will look out and he will see others. And he will be concerned about them. He will not be taken up with his own problems. Another indicator that Joseph was living a life of victory and triumph will be found in verse 8. We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. Joseph, in prison, not a believer beside him, not a Bible or manuscript of the scriptures with him, nothing. Yet he was close to the living God. Do not interpretations belong to God? Joseph's relationship with God was intimate and was close. And he says, you tell me and we'll find out. This would tell us, friends, that even there, in the most difficult, the most dire circumstances that we can find ourselves in, there was no excuse not to be close with God. How's your own life? How's the life of the minister? What is preaching? Preaching is, some would say, merely God speaking through the preacher. And if the preacher, friends, is close to God, that will be evident. And if he's not, that also will be evident. And what's true for the preacher is true for those in the pew. If you are close to the living God, it will be evident in your everyday life, in your conversation. Others will know it. Joseph, close to God. This life of triumph, he was still close to God. Another indicator that he was triumphing in his testing is found in verse 15. For indeed, he says, I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. Joseph had just interpreted the dream of the butler. And he had given a good interpretation. And Joseph said, remember me. Remember me. Remember my situation. Speak unto Pharaoh. Remember him. Remember me before him. But you notice, friends, he doesn't mention his family. He doesn't mention his brothers who had sold him into slavery. He doesn't mention Potiphar's wife. He doesn't mention what Potiphar has done to him. He seems to have some sense to put these things to the back of his mind. You might think he might vent his spleen on this occasion. My terrible family, see what my brothers have done to me. See what Potiphar has done. See what his wife has done to me. That's why I'm here, because of the evil that these people have done upon me. It's clear, friends, that in some sense he had forgiven them. He did not hold this against them. We may well say he recognized again the sovereignty of God. But the important lesson for us as we look at his triumph, that he in some sense forgave these people who had treated him so dismally. This is part of victorious Christian living. We must forgive. We must forgive. We cannot bear grudges. We cannot take these things with us. They will stunt our growth. They will stunt our closeness, our union, and our fellowship with the living God. We must leave these things behind. We must seek grace that we would forgive those who have wronged us. For the victorious Christian life, there must be forgiveness. And the final thing that would tell us that he was living a life of triumph as he was being tested is found in verse 19. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the bird shall eat thy flesh from off thee. The baker had heard the favorable translation or interpretation of the dream, and therefore he tells Joseph his dream, hoping that he would get also a favorable interpretation. It didn't happen. Joseph had to deliver a stern, awesome word. 3 days, you will be decapitated. 3 days, you will be in eternity. 3 days, and it will all be over. It would be easy for Joseph to say a favorable word, but he didn't. Because he was true, he spoke the word in season. And that word was not pleasant, but he was a faithful messenger. Again, part of his testing, and it's clear that he triumphed. This is something that should mark out the Christian. Our yes should be yes, and our no should be no. We should not speak with a forked tongue. We should speak the truth as it is in Jesus. And let us be known as ones when we speak that it is the words of truth, however unpleasant that truth may be. So here we have Joseph tested. Joseph trusting and Joseph triumphing. Yet, our text tells us, verse 23, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Here we go again. Another blow. Joseph, the prize fighter, gets a master blow. Surely he would have said, surely this is my way out. Surely things will change now. Surely they will recognize I'm true and innocent. No, friends. You see, had the chief butler recommended Joseph to Pharaoh, it might be regarded that man had released Joseph from prison. You see, God had a better way. God would take him out. And he was to be further tested. There was to be a further period of testing before his eventual exaltation. And therefore, friends, the lesson for us is we must continually wait upon the Lord. He tests. We must trust. And as we're trusting, we will triumph. And at the appointed time, in God's own perfect time, he will indeed bring us to glory. Amen. And may God bless his word to us. Let us pray together.